Day, 3 weeks from tomorrow, Larry Richard with our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister, is so much more. Just back from Atlanta this weekend. Interesting weekend you had, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a 21-hour day yesterday, but a fun time in Atlanta. Very, very wonderful conversation. It focuses on black voters. There's a special coming up on News One, election night eve, called the Black Ballot. I had an opportunity to have a informal meeting off camera with MLK the Third, which was an honor to be able to shake the hand and take a picture with the man whose dad changed the world with his leadership, and then also have a conversation talking about issues that are coming up, not only in the presidential election, but in the congressional races and down ballot races, specifically to black voters, and how it parses out when it comes to everything from the economy to education, things that everybody cares about.
Let's dial back then. Last Thursday, former President Barack Obama, you knew very well from your days in Chicago, you knew his circle.
Yeah.
And when he rose to the presidency and then was able to be reelected, he's been fairly quiet, but he's come out to try to energize people to get off their seats and vote.
Pennsylvania, that is the choice in this election. It's not just about policies that are on the ballot. It is about values, and it is about character. So whether this election is making you feel excited or scared or hopeful or frustrated or anything in between, do not just sit back and hope for the best. Get off your couch and vote. Put down your phone and vote. Grab your friends and family and vote. Vote for Kamala Harris.
And that was how he ended his visit here in Pittsburgh.
It sounds good.
Put down your phone. Get off the couch.
Yeah, but he told the Congressional Black Caucus about 10 years ago to take off their house shoes and put on their marching boots and get activated for his reelection. And a lot of black folks did not take to that very kindly. And one of the critiques that you have seen nationally of him from, I mean, there are prominent national figures here in Pittsburgh, all the way to op-eds in the New York Times that are basically saying the same thing, both black women and black men. I mean, Nina Turner from Ohio said it on CNN Friday as well. Why does the former president have a tendency to talk down to black men and black voters in this way?
How do you mean?
It has an ability to ring with a little bit of condescension. And listen, when he lost in 2000 to Bobby Rush, that was the critique. Who is this guy from Hawaii that just came to the South Side that has a Harvard education talking down to us? And there are times where he errs on the wrong side of this, and this is a critique that's continuously come up in his career, and it's been ringing ever since Thursday when he was here in Pittsburgh, because even the quote unquote off the cuff remarks at the Harris campaign headquarters, obviously he knew that those cameras were on, and by that quote unquote leaking out, it had the opposite effect of what he was trying to have. And this is why it's important, Larry. If you look at his record as far as campaigning for other candidates, it's not good. 2009, they lost races in Virginia, New Jersey. They should not have lost. 2010, the Tea Party wave came. 2014, he lost the U.S. Senate. It's not like he's been very successful campaigning for other candidates other than himself.
All right, so Barack Obama here Thursday, the University of Pittsburgh, J.D. Vance in Johnstown over the weekend, Kamala Harris in Erie today, Donald Trump just outside of Philly today, Tim Walz is coming back, and now we hear Trump's coming to Allegheny County for a rally. It's extraordinary that we keep in the spotlight for this election. Why in particular, Lenny, is Erie County so important?
Because that was one of the indicating counties that showed us that Trump was going to win. That had been a blue county from a presidential level for a while. Donald Trump won it in 2016, surprisingly. And it's continued to kind of have that purplish tint up there. When you were listing off where people were coming into the Commonwealth over the next several days, Kamala Harris is going to what might be perceived as Trump country in the northwest corner, And Donald Trump is going to the Philadelphia region, which might be seen as Harris County in the southeast corner. Now they're trying to play on the opponent's battlefield to try to skim away some of those votes. Those are, and again, it's not going to be Philadelphia County, but it's going to be a collar county in the southeast. But if it's Erie and you can get much of western Pennsylvania and you can make the collar counties of Pittsburgh competitive, that's how Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania. And if Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's a much stronger chance of him winning overall.
Lenny McAllister will have more, including what the national media is saying about us, coming up on the session with Lenny McAllister, who is our resident political analyst. Are you okay with that? We never actually asked you that. I mean, because you wear many hats. You have a show here Sunday afternoons. You're able to open talk, whatever. You know, you don't just talk about politics, obviously. But right now it's in everybody's face for the next 3 weeks.
Larry, your voice is so smooth. You can say anything at this point in time at 8:15 in the morning. And I agree with Lenny, we're going to have to make sure we extract all of your molars, but it'll be okay. Yes, Larry, thank you. You make that sound so pleasant. That's just how, that's the beauty of who you are, sir. So yes, I love the title.
Thank you. But for those that don't know, you're in education too.
Yep.
And you've had experience in Chicago and big time radio there as well. And but politics is something kind of, it seems to be in your blood.
Yeah. It is something that the tie to the things that we say that we need, the politics is supposed to be about the people, brings us back to public policy, brings us back to how do you get stuff done. If your politics is broken, it's a very good chance your public policy is not going to work. And our electorate and our people, even those that don't vote, are not going to find a level of satisfaction. So, yes, it's one of those things that it's in my blood because I love people. And I want to make sure that we get for our fellow Americans what they need.
And you're a family man.
Yes.
Got kids in school, in sports. We were just talking about playing baseball football.
First hit on Friday night and first carry in a football game on Saturday. So, you know, kudos to my kids for, and it's really the thing that makes me proud as a parent. I think every parent can relate to this. It's not so much if they score touchdowns or if they hit home runs. It's when they succeed through tenacity. You know, you strike out 10 times and then you get your first hit because you stick with it. Or you never played football before, but now you're getting a point of time to get a carry or get on the field and you're seeing the growth. I mean, those are character development traits or traits that are being developed that you can do big things at 60, 70, 80 years old. And that's what sports is supposed to be about, not necessarily accolades and, you know, NIL deals.
I agree. Why is Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania so important? I thought a really good piece in the Tribune Review about that, and you've explained it. We've talked about it. It's the center of the political universe, and it's our 19 electoral college votes, which Tim Walz spoke out on, and they're trying to backtrack because he said we should eliminate the electoral college, which ironically, I think Donald Trump would have agreed with in the last election, right? Or the one.
Not only that, but I mean, in 2016, it was the Democrats that really wanted it eliminated. I mean, Donald Trump flip-flopped on that in 2020. But, and this is the problem. Let's get to this, Larry. When people are trying to speak to certain portions of their base to get them fired up, and they take an issue to do that, it creates a problem in a nationalized race. So yes, if you're speaking to the far left and you say, we should get rid of the Electoral College, that's going to fire up a bunch of 26-year-olds because they remember Hillary Clinton, or 32-year-olds that remember Hillary Clinton. But when you're talking to America now, there's a segment of America that says, oh, wait, here we go again with this lunatic lefty or this hard extreme guy on the right when you're saying things that work with your fringe but don't work with the middle Americans, if you will.
He had to backtrack because that was not in line with what Kamala Harris. So I'm sure they had some deep conversations about what to say, Tim.
It wasn't very deep and it wasn't very long. It was pretty direct. Zip it. Don't say that anymore.
That said, a recent poll came out. The polls basically, for the most part, with margins of errors factored in, are still what we've seen all along, split down the middle of the country.
And it's going to stay that way. I still think, and I said this on the panel discussion I did yesterday in Atlanta, I think it's going to be a slim Harris victory. From an electoral college standpoint, it's not going to look that way. But it's going to be a whole bunch of 1.5% victories in states that are going to add up to this 300 electoral vote victory that's going to look much bigger than it actually was.
So explain how that works, because you could win the popular vote but still lose the election.
This happened in 2016.
Correct.
If you rack up all your votes in California, Illinois, and New York State, if you're a Democrat, there's a lot of people that you can overwhelmingly get popular votes from. You're still only going to get the state's allotment of electoral votes. Therefore, if you lose, let's say, a purplish state like Missouri, which has now become more red, or you lose Pennsylvania, congratulations, you got New Jersey, New York, Illinois, California. Republicans are still going to pretty much factor into play Texas, for example, a lot of electoral votes. But if you're losing Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, you can win the popular vote and lose the electoral vote count and thus lose the election.
More to come with Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. It's 8:25 at KDKA. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Lenny McAllister joining us in our 8 o'clock hour every Monday through the election and then some.
Yes.
It may carry beyond 3 weeks from tomorrow.
We're trying to prepare people for the inevitable.
And we've seen, well, the last 2 weeks, 60 Minutes has run stories about this very subject, about people's confidence in the vote, especially this year after what some perceived was 4 years ago a stolen election.
Yeah, and we might be at a point in time, and again, this came up on the black ballot, which will come out election night eve. We might be at a point in time in our nation's history where knowing who wins the presidential election on election night is over. Because, I mean, and it's not just paper ballots versus electronic ballots. It's not just, these are tight margins. It's all of it. You have more people in the country. You have both baby boomers, a big generation, and now millennials and Gen Zers, big generations, all voting at once now. It's a wider country. You have 50 different election laws. Some people have been doing mail-in ballots for a long time. Some people are election day centric, much like how Pennsylvania still is, even though we have some mail-in ballots. We're not going to have it this year, and we may not have it anymore.
There have been laws changed in states since the last election, and some of people believe they're unfair now, when in reality they wanted to change laws they believe to be ensure that they're more secure. So you have this. So regardless of who wins, you're going to have people that say it wasn't fair.
People forget. Let's go to Georgia, for example. We all know about the phone call from President Trump at the time in 2020, find me 12,000 more votes. People forget that 2 years earlier, Stacey Abrams, who is a big-time Democratic strategist and activist, ran for governor, lost a very tight race, and basically pushed back about we didn't lose, that election was stolen. It was 2 years prior in the same state by the Democrat and not the Republican. And now they've switched their election laws, to your point, Larry, where you have to count those votes by hand. Imagine what Georgia's going to look like in about 3 weeks when they're trying to count ballots by hand because they changed the election laws based on 2018 and 2020.
And remember 4 years ago here in Allegheny County,
yeah,
Pennsylvania, they had to hand count so many votes, and it took days.
Yes.
And it was so crucial, obviously, in that election. But 4 years later, does it matter that people are still saying the election was stolen?
Yes, because it's about public confidence.
But in no court of law did they prove it. It's not been a proven. It's just somebody saying it.
Ironically, Larry, you and I were talking about advertising and marketing, and what did we say? Perception ends up being reality. So you have the legal reality that if people's perception is still not married to that, you're still going to have problems. And you're going to have it from a segment of Americans, regardless of who wins. And it's going to, what's even worse, it's going to probably go from state to state. You're going to have some Georgia voters saying one thing. You're going to have some Pennsylvanians saying another. You might have some people grumbling in Michigan. And if you cobble that all together, we're going to have to keep our cool going out of November 5th and into whatever transition it looks like in January.
Well, there's a good chance then that we're not going to know like we used to, with the exception of 4 years ago, the night of the election, who won.
We didn't know 4 years ago.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, with that exception, prior to that, you pretty much knew.
We didn't know about Donald Trump until the morning of the next day in 2016. People thought it was going to be a close election in 2012. I actually said that was going to be a blowout, and it ended up being a blowout in 2012. But that was still 12 years ago, three cycles ago.
There would be one other exception, and that would be after Clinton's two terms. You know, you thought his guy was going to be a shoo-in, right?
Yep.
And we all remember
Hanging Chad.
Al Gore and the Hanging Chads of Florida.
Yep.
With that iconic picture of the one guy with his glasses looking over in those little like IBM computer cards, trying to determine whether someone punched a tab or didn't punch a tab. But ultimately, it was a really close race.
And it went to a Supreme Court that was, you had the nominations that were partisan, and therefore that's how the vote turned out. And then, of course, and this is where, and you asked the question about, we talked about perceptions. If people see the Supreme Court as being partisan, and then you think that these elections can be skewed, and then things get thrown into the courts, that's where this is where it gets problematic. Now, I will say this. I think that it will be different with a Biden administration overseeing this federally than a Trump administration, because a lot of the stuff that we got after November 2020 was because Donald Trump was the president and had the reins of power in his hands, unlike Joe Biden being the president when this all goes down.
Is it fair to say that there is no other human being in this country outside of Donald Trump that could have survived what's been thrown at him so far? All the legal challenges that are still unfinished. 34 federal convictions in a state of New York. A sentencing has not, pushed that.
Yep.
The January 6th stuff and other things that have done. There's no other person that could have still be standing today.
He came at the right time, because people forget there was a serious lack of connection. It was a high level of apathy going into 2016, coming out of that second Obama term. And the person that voted for Obama, a lot of them voted for Trump because of this blend of all these different scenarios. And once they attached to him and felt like they were being heard, there's nothing like feeling like you're heard in politics or in society. Once you get that, that's a loyalty that's very hard to break. And he's been able to sustain it for 10 years now.
More coming up with Letty McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. Days until the presidential election. Letty McAllister with me this hour and on Tuesdays right through Election Day, and we'll see how it goes. When do you think we will have a definitive result election night?
No way. And the caution I would have for every network is, please do not project a winner on election night. I know part of the ratings game, and you know this, you've been in media forever as well, part of the ratings game is who can break the news first. The problem is, and we've seen this with other elections, you know, literally they broke it for Gore. We talked about 2000. Broke it for Gore, Bush, Gore. Hold up, let's retract who we're saying is the projected winner. We cannot have that on election night. They might as well start baking into the cake with their messaging on air now. We will likely not know who's going to win at the stroke of midnight after the election is over. And just make sure people understand that. And that's just modern American society, not some type of game that somebody's trying to steal the election.
You would think, though, with the technological advantages that we have, that they would be able to do that. But it's gone the other way. In many cases, they've gone back to the paper ballots and the counting mechanisms now with Now, there won't be nearly as many mail-in votes as there was during the pandemic, obviously.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't take as long, and they should be a little more efficient about counting those. And then whatever the count is, there'll be questions about whoever's side wins or loses the legitimacy.
We have to restore public trust. We've had complaints about voting machines and how they've been, quote-unquote, manipulated to flip votes. We've also heard complaints about paper ballots being dropped at drop boxes. We've heard complaints about both aspects or both ways of voting, both mail-in votes and extra paper votes, and how electronic votes can be flipped. I voted for Larry, and I swear I hit the button for Larry, and it said Aaron on it. So, again, either way is not making it more efficient, and it's not because of the technology or the advancements of who we are as a society. It's because we don't have public trust in our institutions, and as a result, it doesn't matter what we do, at least in this election cycle. If we get anything out of this election, we got to get that back so that we can get back to some normalcy moving forward.
Lenny McAllister, thank you, sir. Always appreciate your input. You'll be on the air Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
And then, of course, back with us Monday. And here we go. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow.
This is almost like if it was a 4x100 at the Olympics. This is either when somebody's going to put in the afterburners and get that kick in, or if they're Americans, they're going to drop the baton.
I wonder if there's any big story that will change any of this in the next 3 weeks. No October surprise?
The Middle East can provide it. Ukraine could provide it. One more set of economic numbers are coming out before the election. That could provide it. I think that if, let's say something happens in the Middle East and gas prices take a 20-cent per gallon jump, 15-cent per gallon jump, that's an October surprise that would make a difference.
Always appreciate your insight, Lenny. Thank you.
Thank you, kind sir.
Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show.